Alante here. Before I start this week's episode, I want to thank you for taking time to listen to this audio blog. Blacken and Grad School was created to encourage and empower women and people of color to and through the grad school journey. Enjoy! Hey y'all, it's Alante again from Blacken and Grad School, and today we have a new guest who I'm so grateful I was able to meet over Twitter. I'm telling you that. more than one person I've met via Twitter. Twitter is the move. Today we're going to be talking about some tips and trips for you as it relates to being a graduate student and wanting to travel. So I'm really excited to have Alexia here. Welcome, Alexia.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. This is really an awesome experience. So thank you for creating this opportunity for me.
If you could just tell us a little bit more about yourself and maybe your favorite place that you've traveled.
Of course. So my name is Alexia. I am the founder and owner of the Wonderluster Travel Agency. It's Wonderluster, not Wanderluster. I'm an MPA. I finished my Master of Public Administration in December of 2017 after I got my bachelor's in journalism. And I was actually accepted into the Johns Hopkins University, their organizational leadership program. And so I planned on taking some time off. I'd been in school pretty much my whole life. I was going to take some time off, but they decided to discontinue that program. So I had to enroll in January of this year. So I am currently a grad student as well, still in the grad school. And I have to say, without a shadow of a doubt, being a Black professional / grad student traveler has been amazing. I think Paris has become my second home. And I think that any other traveler who's ever been to Paris will feel that same way, or maybe not. I don't know. But Paris has been one of my favorite places by far. Anytime I cross the Atlantic Ocean, I am immediately making a layover or a stop in Paris for any reason. And so that has my heart. That's my favorite place. I can't think of anything else that has matched that thus far.
Oh my gosh. Oh, so like, what about Paris just draws you to it so much?
Of course. So I'm originally from New Orleans. I live in Dallas, Texas now, but I'm originally from New Orleans. So there was a lot of architecture and history that was very reminiscent of where I grew up and where I live. Mm-hmm. And so that was kind of a very familiar feeling for me. But I have to be like completely transparent and honest. I think being a Black traveler, my biggest, because this was a solo trip as well. So I went to Paris by myself for a week with, you know, no one, knowing nothing, knowing no one there. You have these reservations about how you'll be received and treated. And I think for me, being in Paris and I being the type of invisible I wish I was in America was very comforting. And in the States, we're constantly stared at and gawked at. And, you know, people are wanting to interact and engage with us simply because we're Black or we're outside of what their normal Black norm is. And so they want to engage you for whatever reason. I felt so beautifully invisible. I just felt like I could be myself. I didn't feel like there were always eyes on. At first I was like, why does no one care that I'm here? Like, why is no one looking at me? But then I realized, I was like, okay, this is what it should be. Like, it should just be a normal person going about her day, living her life without having people stare or want to engage you and ask you questions about your ethnicity. And so I think that's why I just felt really comfortable to just be me in a space where no one was checking for me.
Nice. Love it. Like a place where you get to be beautifully invisible. I think that was
beautifully invisible. And it's weird when you say people, you know, I'm invisible, I was invisible, but it's like, I think if you have not experienced being Black in America, being invisible can sometimes be a release and a release from, or I guess you can say kind of a break from having to constantly deal with being a person of color in the States.
Yeah, no, I feel you absolutely. And I think a lot of us understand that feeling of just like really wanting to be able to just literally mind your own, you know, Black business. So, right. So tell us a little bit about how you chose the graduate school journey or how you got on this path.
Of course. So I guess growing up, both my parents were first-time college students for their families. Mm-hmm. So first-time graduates, they got their master's. And I guess I was just raised in a household where education was always just my next step. It was never something that like I had to contemplate. So I always knew I was going to get my bachelor's, I always knew I was going to get my master's. And so I actually chose my program because I am in the process of founding my own nonprofit. And so I got my master in public administration with a focus in nonprofit management so that I can have the foundational knowledge and information that I needed to really build a strong nonprofit that can serve the community. I think people have a passion and a cause, and so they start a nonprofit, and that's great. But there are people's lives and there are people's dollars that you are immediately touching. So I just wanted to be in a place where I could effectively and efficiently use the resources I had to impact the lives and the community that I'm in. So that led me to my first master's. My second master's was actually, it's a funnel. So this program is funneling me into my PhD, which that is going to be my terminal breaking point. Like at that point, I am done. Don't show me a textbook. Don't ask me about anything. I am done. And so that's how I ended up in the program with Johns Hopkins, that I desire to pursue my PhD and getting that out of the way before I hit my 30s.
Nice. Okay. So the program at Johns Hopkins is your second master's.
Yes.
Okay. And then it's going to go right. It's getting you ready for your PhD. Very nice. Okay.
Yes,
cool. So you've got your path all laid out, and maybe share like one like aha or pivotal moment that you've experienced so far through your grad school journey.
So if it's okay, I'll give like a personal and a professional experience. Perfect. And so for me, my professional aha moment was my master's is simply, so I was very hard on myself, and I was like, oh, I want to do so well. And I was like, you know, I need to be a 4.0 student. I have to be cum laude. And I was really just stressing myself out to the max, almost to an unhealthy point, to where everything I had going on, it was just impossible to really, it was impossible to reach that because my priorities were a little bit above wanting to get there. And that's when I realized in my profession, like just having been in the corporate America, and I realized there were people in positions that didn't even have bachelors, who only had high school diplomas. And I realized I am doing this for myself to give me the credentials that I need to walk into a room and demand the attention that I already deserve. And that this cum laude or all these extra credentials, I was doing it because of what I thought people would need to value me. But that's not it. I'm knowledgeable. I'm intelligent. I speak with purpose and passion and power. And I was forcing myself into the confines of what corporate America forces you to think you have to be, especially being a woman of color walking into a room. So for me, it was like, I'm doing this for myself. Everything about my career moving forward is going to be for myself and not because I think that I need this to provide credentials or credibility to what I already bring to the table. So I would have to say, like, if you're getting your master's because you're passionate about your field and you want to be an expert and you want a certain level of knowledge, I think that is amazing. But if you're doing it simply because you think that it's going to put you ahead or it's going to make people view you differently, to an extent, yes, but it's really about how you view you. And as long as you view you with the value that you have and the value you know you bring to the table, people will see that regardless of if you have letters or acronyms at the end of your name. Once I realized that, I was like, I could breathe. And so I did well. I didn't get cum laude, complete transparency, but I ended up finishing with a 3.5, and I felt like for everything I had going on, I was working full-time in school full-time. I'm volunteering 40 hours a month, and you know, I'm social and I have different things going on. And so it was just like I was putting too much pressure on myself to be perfect so I could be perfect in the eyes of others. And that was never going to happen anyway. So once I realized that, I was like, I'm good. And everything fell into place. Aha moment.
Yes.
My aha moment in grad school was thinking that because I'm in grad school, we're conditioned to think of things in increments. So you go to school for 18 years and you go to school another 4 years and a master's program for 2 years. And you're like, okay, well, after all of this, once I finally accomplish all of this, I can start incorporating things I'm passionate about into my life. I'm passionate about traveling. I'm passionate about DJing. I'm passionate about my hobbies. I'm passionate about photography. And it's like, I'm putting so much into being in school and being a grad student that I'm not making time for what I'm really passionate about or what my interests are. And it was halfway through my program when I realized I'm not going to be able to travel the way I want to until I am done with the program. But that doesn't mean I have to wait to travel. I took advantage of holidays. Corporate America and academic America aligned. So for 2 weeks in December, I didn't have school or work. So you best believe you're not going to see me for 2 weeks because I'm going to give that time to my passion, which is travel. And so my personal aha moment would be, you don't have to delay the things you're passionate about, the things you want to do because you don't think you have time. You make time for the things you're passionate about and the things that you want to do. You don't have to delay your passions or the things you're interested in or your interests because you're in grad school. You make time for your interests and your passions while you're on this journey to getting your degree or pursuing your academic or career passions. And that was one thing I had to realize. I do not have to wait till I finish this degree to start doing the things I want to do. I absolutely can do them right now. I just have to make the time for them.
So how did you make the time for them?
It's really about just taking, identifying opportunities that already exist. For instance, most, you know, being a full-time professional, full-time student, 3-day weekends, holidays. So I've been dying. There's a music festival I want to go to, or I want to go to Seattle. Here's a 4-day weekend right here I can take advantage of and go travel and get that off my bucket list. My corporate holiday and my academic holiday aligned that week of Christmas and then a week after New Year's. So I took that 2 weeks and I went and traveled and I hit all the places that I wanted to hit for that year and then going into the new year. So at least for that little bit of time, I got that fixed. It's just about identifying opportunities to travel. Maybe, you know, you're not in corporate America, so you don't have to consider that, but you work for the university. So spring break, don't go to the typical spring break places. You know, if you plan enough time in advance, you can save up and go somewhere that you really want to go to. But it's about finding time and where there are already opportunities instead of creating time where it doesn't already exist.
Right. So when I hear you say going during like the Christmas and New Year holiday, I just see dollar signs. And I'm a full-time student, so I don't have a job that helps like support my travel hobby. Like I have a couple of hustles that do, but I just imagine, you know, like like holiday travel, especially that time of the year, is just really expensive. So how were you able to, did you just plan like 18 months in advance, or, you know, how did you have like a savings account? How did you go about getting ready for those trips?
Of course. So one of the things I do and one of the things I pride the agency on is traveling on a budget. It's about having travel be a luxury part of your a luxury lifestyle you can access on a budget. And I sit down at the beginning of every year and I say, where do I want to go? So January 1, I'm like, if I'm not already out of the, I'm already on a trip, I'm saying, where do I want to go? Just curious, like, what do you think an average international trip would cost around that time?
Okay, around that time. Let's just say, if I have 2 weeks, I might do like Paris, London, and Amsterdam in my head.
Okay. I like all of those places.
I haven't been to London. I've been to Paris. I went with my mom last year, but I haven't been to London or Amsterdam. But I know I've looked at trips like that before, and they were like, I just would immediately put the flight around like, well, at least like a stack, maybe like $1,000. And then, I mean, Airbnbs, I'd probably say another $1,000 for all three. And then, to eat, I usually have a budget of about $100 a day. So that's 14 days. So 1400, that's 3,400.
Oh man, that just stressed me out. I think that just like financed all my trips for the year. Okay, so one of the benefits of planning ahead of time. And so some people are like, I have no idea where I'm going to be in a year. It makes no sense for me to plan that far ahead. And I mean, I completely understand. What I do is I sit down in the year and I say, where would I like to go this year? And when can I go? Mm-hmm. I have never spent more than maybe $1,200 for everything. So say you get a really good flight deal to go to Paris. Mm-hmm. Once you get their version of stateside, you can get a ticket from Paris to Amsterdam for like $50 to $100.
Nice.
And then you can do the same thing from Amsterdam to London for like $50 to $100. And then there are even sometimes they're also really cheap flights, or maybe you want to take the train, have the train experience. So you take a train from Paris to Amsterdam in a flight. It really can be inexpensive. And I try to equate it to things that people, so if you take January, February, March, and you maybe think about how much you spend at boutique coffee shops, or going out to the club, or the club on the weekends, or having happy hours with your friends, or whatever your comment, or whatever are extra things in your life that you don't necessarily need, but you enjoy. If you take what you spend on that, just for those 3 months, you could actually turn around and buy those tickets to go to those places in advance. Mm-hmm. You can get, if you start watching in January, you can find it, honestly, anywhere in the country. And one of the things that people, you know, are worried about, oh, well, you live in Dallas, and so I live in Chicago. Actually, there are really cheap flight deals all over the country. You just have to decide, what is my hub airport going to be? And then start monitoring. There are outlets that monitor flights out of that airport simply to get you the best deal. So people can book a round trip flight to Paris from anywhere in the country for $400 to $500 if they just start thinking about it more than a couple months in advance.
Yeah.
So budget travel is possible. There's nowhere in the world you can't go with a little bit of planning. And if you start putting aside what you feel comfortable with, $25 every 2 weeks, $50 every 2 weeks, you'd be surprised how that builds up over time. So by the time you decide to start planning for a trip, you already have a travel savings account dedicated. So you're not stressed out. You're not trying to work extra jobs, pick up extra shifts. You're not freaking out about how you're going to make it work. And you also don't have that stress or that anxiety of broke travel. Because I think that as travelers, especially young millennial travelers, the feeling is like, I'm traveling broke, or I feel like I'm going to be broke, or I'm not going to be able to do the things that I want to do. When you plan and you can start saving and making room for things, you can travel and have the experience that you deserve. So it really is just about just a little bit of planning and being comfortable enough to set money aside every so often to give you a cushion to get started with your travel.
Yeah, I like that. That's awesome.
Because I'm telling you, that $3,400 you quoted, you could literally get you and three other friends off that for sure. I could make sure of that.
Very cool. So how is your travel maybe like, how does that help you in grad school?
Of course. I think travel in general forces you to evolve as a person. And it forces you to gain insight on new perspectives and new ideas. And it forces you to grow not only externally in society and how you interact with other people, but it forces you to grow as an individual. Mm-hmm. My travel while I was in grad school helped me interact. So I was a master of public administration. So a lot of my classes were focused on government and being a public servant. And so I would actually go into these new places, and I'm learning unconsciously learning about their infrastructure because I'm currently in grad school. And so my mind's just thinking about those things. Mm-hmm. So I go into these different cities and I'm learning. So I come back to school and I'm in session and I have all these courses and assignments. And I'm like, I have a perspective that my fellow classmates will not have because they are not traveling. So I can come back and say, when we're debating in class and talking about how infrastructures work and what opportunities there are for improvement, I can cite having spent a few days in Amsterdam and learning about their infrastructure and how their government works. Or I can cite having been in Italy and how their community and their local government works, just to bring new insight into my program. Mm. And I think being a grad student, I think that's really, you know, what it's about bringing perspectives and ideas and new opportunities to engage on topics we're all passionate about from varying from varying sites. Like, my vision is going to be different from my classmate who's 50 years old and in a career change, and or my site's going to be very different from someone who's 35 years old and already in, at the top level in their career. So I definitely think travel helps you in school, not just helps you personally, but it allows you to bring an expertise that varies from anybody else in your program, because they're not going to be thinking about things the way you are because you've traveled and seen different things.
Mm. Now, what about how you, I don't know, how does it make you feel having traveled and maybe experiencing this beautiful invisibility and then coming back? And I don't, I'm not sure what the makeup of your classrooms look like, but I feel like I can venture to say you're probably one of the few Black people. Right. I'm like, I was like, I feel like I always say, I'm like, I don't want to assume, but unless you're in education,
you would assume, right?
Yeah, you know. But how has that, how has your travel and having that experience and then going, coming back to the classroom or your job, like, what do you make of that?
I think the first thing that it, that helps me, especially when I come back into the classroom, is when I'm faced with perspectives that I feel are slighted or narrow-minded, I remember that this is a very small percentage of humanity that thinks this way, because, like I said, traveling grows you exponentially. So it allows me on it, it provides me the patience to tolerate things that may become difficult. It also allows me to engage with them from their perspective, because most, you know, unless I'm going to places like, unless I'm going to the motherland or South America, most often the places that I'm going to be traveling to, I am still going to, in some ways, be the minority. So if I'm in Europe or Asia, you know, despite what my views on ethnicity and race may be, I'm still going to be a minority. So it allows me to interact with these people and gain insight into their views, because I think they're, people abroad are more willing to have, people abroad love Americans for reasons very unclear to me. They think we're like the coolest thing in the world. They can't wait to ask us questions. They can't wait to engage with us. And when you get that engagement and you start having conversations naturally that people aren't uncomfortable to have because they're not jaded by the American experience, then it allows you to understand like the role you play in it back home, the role everybody else plays in it back home, and then what the outside world is seeing and how can you come back and impact that in a better way and push the needle forward. So it definitely makes being in the classroom a lot easier. It allows me to communicate better, I feel, and to have the patience necessary to really engage with my white counterparts who, just for the sake of understanding, will never really be able to understand in the way that I would like them to. So maintaining that patience and knowing that all they will ever be able to do is empathize, never sympathize with the Black experience. And that's all I can ask for.
Okay, I like that. What was the inspiration behind Wonderluster Travel Agency, and how can you help graduate students?
Of course. So this is, some people might think this is an awesome story, some people might think it's a sad story. So I had already been traveling. I pride myself on being a solo traveler, mostly because I enjoy traveling alone. Traveling in groups is very stressful, but mostly because my solo travel grew out of the fact that I had been so passionate and so ready to travel, but I just didn't have friends around me who were either equally as passionate or in the same position to travel the way I was.
Yeah.
And so I was actually laid off April 12th of this year. The marketing firm I'd been with for almost 3 years laid me off. And I had already had trips planned. So I was like, you know, I'm really like going back and forth about, you know, whether or not I should jump into finding another job, because I have these trips already. Like I said, I sat down at the beginning of the year, so I was already strategic about my, you know, so y'all gonna come mess up my vibe and mess up my flow and lay me off. And so I decided I didn't want to jump back into corporate America. I had been saving the way I was supposed to, you know, for instances like this. And with my severance, I was able to really take that time to figure out what I wanted to do and, you know, what I wanted to do next and what my passions were and really get to know me. And honestly, I was traveling and friends were like, hey, I need you to do this. Can you help me figure this out? And I was basically already putting packages together for people. I was finding them the best flight deals. I was finding them the best hotels. I was finding them the best places for Black travelers to go. And when I get there, where are the best places for Black travelers to go out and hang out and get to know other local people? And so it kind of dawned on me. I was like, you know, I don't want to charge my friends, but I could charge these major companies who I'm bringing business to. And I was like, well, let me try being a travel agent. Let me open up my own travel agency. And I went to the Summit 21 conference in Atlanta that's sponsored by 2190, an extension of Blavity. And being in the room with women who are like me, who are educated or still pursuing education, still pursuing excellence, really stepping into their own truth and being empowered to live out their passion and not afraid, it fell into line. It was like, you know, I set up, have you ever seen, what's that movie? With Will Smith, what is it? Collateral Beauty. Have you ever seen that? It's okay. Yeah.
I'm like, I feel like I've seen all the Will Smith movies, but
it
that
was like, I guess his latest one, his daughter was.
Oh, you know what? The last couple I haven't seen. So.
Okay. It's okay. Essentially, everything, it was like God had walked me step by step through things. Mm. And it was like when you set dominoes up and then you hit one and they all just fall down. It was like he set me up and everything just fell into place to where it was my faith and his ability to guide me and me just doing the work behind getting it done that birthed the Wonderluster Travel Agency. I know my passion is travel. I know what I get from traveling. And I also know the importance of having people of color travel the world. And I wanted to inspire that travel. I wanted to make that travel accessible. And I wanted to encourage and empower people of color to take that step. Yeah. We're the first generation that truly isn't restrained from the same obstacles or concerns as past generations. So why aren't we catching a plane to Paris? Or why aren't we spending a couple weeks in Asia if we have the ability? Stop making excuses of why we can't and let's talk about how we can. Because we have to be the representation for ourselves in these countries when the media is doing a horrible job at showing who we are.
Real. That's very
so
true.
That's I mean, that's really why I did it. I mean, I was kind of forced into it because I was laid off and I decided that I wanted to do something I was passionate about. So when I wake up tomorrow, it's not going to be, oh my God, I got to go to work. I think I'm going to call in sick. No, girl, don't call in sick. You ain't got that much PTO. You don't want to get fired. It was like, you know what? I'm going to work for myself and I'm going to give this some time to work out for itself. And I'm going to trust that this is where God is leading me. So that's what led me to Wonderluster.
That's a beautiful story. I think that sometimes we feel like situations like that are bad moves, but I have yet to hear someone who's created something out of a situation like that make a bad, you know, like it goes badly. So I'm over here rooting for you, just so you know.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate that. That really means a lot because, like I said, I think I'm just so passionate about black people. Anybody who knows me, they're like, Alexia, like, tone down black power. Like, you're overwhelming us. But it really is just about, like, making anything in the world that we feel we want to do accessible for others. So whether that's travel or starting your own business, whatever I can do to support people of color to come into their own truth, I'm here for it 110%.
Well, we are completely aligned in that. And I definitely got that vibe, you know, and I was like, yeah, I want to interview whoever is over Wonderluster. I'm with it.
Well, thank you. This really is an opportunity. I really am happy I got to speak with you as well because I've heard such good things about you. I think the Black in Grad School podcast is dope. I think it's so amazing to have a place for us because obviously anyone in grad school, unless you're at HBCU, you know how isolating, even more isolating it can be than undergrad because you're like one out of maybe six other people in the program. Not even just your incoming cohort, the whole program. And that's like, okay, let me represent everybody out here. You know, it's nice to take a break. So thank you for doing what you do.
Well, I appreciate that. I just was like, we're completely aligned, totally about helping people of color live their truth. I love the way you said that. So last, is there any advice that you have? I mean, you already shared so much with us and gave us like a really great, you know, boost of inspiration to really know that we can incorporate travel in our lives as graduate students. But do you have any other advice that maybe or something you want to share that I didn't ask to current Black grad students who want to travel more?
Of course. So I will say this. First off, I applaud each and every one of you, and I'm so happy we're all here in the same position because despite what I said earlier about the credentials and, you know, the credibility, education is power, knowledge is power, and what you are doing is you are arming yourself with the tools necessary to walk into any environment, any atmosphere, in any community, and be an expert and to speak power behind your knowledge and to be representative of what power and knowledge can look like. So I think we all deserve a round of applause. But I think the most important thing to know is, whether it's travel or not, you are in control of your narrative, and you have to want to make time for the things you're passionate about and not using grad school as an excuse. And let me be very clear. I understand everybody has different circumstances, but there's always something that we can do to incorporate, even if it's small. So if you're Black and in grad school and you want to travel, but you know you don't necessarily have the budget, maybe you don't have $1,000 to dedicate to Paris, but you can muster up $300-$400 to go somewhere domestic, do it. Because above all else, travel is also about finding a balance in mental health. Mm-hmm. It's about taking a break from the fact that you grind 12 to 24 hours a day, every day, being in grad school and trying to maintain grades and being able to pay bills on time and keep a roof over your head and food in your stomach, and maybe you're teaching classes. It's about so much more than just traveling. It's about making time for yourself and giving yourself the break that you need to really be the best version of yourself in whatever you decide you want your career to be. So put yourself first and make time for the things you're passionate about, because that's what's going to make grad school that much more worth it when you're done.
I love that. Oh, thank you so much for sharing so much information with us. It was amazing.
Of course.
The last segment that I have on every episode is Lessons from the Trap. And so I would love to hear one of your lessons, Alexia.
Okay. So when you asked me to think about this question, I immediately was like, okay, let me think about this.
Yes.
And the complete reality is, I don't have a specific song, because I'm in my second master, so there's so many songs that have gotten me through. Mm. I will have to say there's an album, which is The Coloring Book by Chance the Rapper.
Yeah.
And I think it was the perfect balance between being a Christian and putting your faith in God, but also being out here like, hey, I'm in these streets, and if you need me to, like, I can handle mine. Because like you said in your program, like, it was about constantly having to balance being Black in a graduate program and then being Black in America and then being a Black traveler and managing all of these different identities. And it was just about having that place where I'm like, you know what, Becky, have a good day. Let me go bump some Chance the Rapper to get me back in my happy space and my safe place where none of this matters and I'm thinking about the bigger picture, and this is a blessing, and you know, everything has a purpose. And so the whole Coloring Book album really got me to finish, because there was a point where I was like, you know what, I'm done. I was over it. I was like, I don't want to be in this program anymore. We got to our race and gender class, and I was like, I have nothing to offer y'all anymore. And it was really just about that, you know, that I guess that fun vibe, but then also with a real deep, powerful message that really got me through grad school. And I think it's just, you know, you having to find that, whether it's one song or an entire album, that find self-care, you know. Listen to Chance the Rapper. He'll keep you from slapping somebody crazy.
These are big facts, though. I actually just listened to that album. I want to say, what's today? Sunday? So, like, Thursday. I love Coloring Book. It's so perfect. Like, a nice little bop, but, like, then I will straight up have, like, a whole praise break. It's amazing. So, that was a really great lesson from the trap. The entire Coloring Book. Yes.
I love it. If you haven't, which you're crazy, do it. Just go listen to it.
Yeah. I mean, Finish Line is like when I'm going to an exam, it's the first day of school, when I got in, like, Finish Line is just my reminder that I am getting closer and closer to this goal.
Exactly.
I just love it. I love it. That was great. Okay. Hopefully this is from the trap. Well, thank you so much, Alexia. Tell us where we can find you.
Of course. So again, I just, so it's a little bit different, guys. So it's the Wonder Luster Agency. So it's actually WUNDER Luster Agency on Instagram. It's the WL as in Luster Travel Agency on Twitter. Instagram is really where it's at, though. Like, if anything you're looking for, tips, advice, travel inspiration, current deals that we have going on, whatever the case may be, our Instagram, which is Wonder Luster Agency, Wonder, WUNDER, is the perfect place to get in tune. Even if you're just looking for...
Hi, Alante again. I really want this project to be a resource for my fellow people of color and women in grad school. So if you have any questions or requests for topics, shoot me an email at alante@strengthsnotstrikes.com. That's A-L-L-A-N-T-E at strengthsnotstrikes.com. Please remember to subscribe and review and share with your other friends in grad school. Thank you.